This is the It Ain't It Sis podcast, a podcast where we focus on life's pivots and redirections, relationships, and becoming a boss babe. I'm your host, Sarah Whitney, and this is a space where honesty, humor, and a whole lot of sass collide. No one has it figured out. So it's completely fine if sometimes it ain't it, sis. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the It Ain't It Sis podcast. I'm Sarah Whitney, your host. And if you are new here, first off, welcome. Think of this as kind of an open diary slash open journal. I'm a 20-something-year-old girl living in San Diego, California, just graduated college, and, you know, trying to figure it all out. In no way, shape, or form have it all together, but that is, I think, kind of a blessing in disguise because I am able to give my real, raw, and honest opinion on how it really goes down after post-grad and really trying to do this whole entrepreneurship thing and finding my way, talk a lot about just navigating different relationships, personal development, and the whole nine yards. So welcome, you are welcome here and super excited to have you. Obviously, if you like the podcast, go ahead, subscribe. I'd love it. Tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your brother, tell everyone. And if you're feeling it, I'd love it if you could give me a 5-star review. It really helps out the podcast and all that jazz. But on another note, today we have an incredible episode. So excited for this one. I sat down with Sabrina Marzaro, and she is a marketeer, entrepreneur, author. She owns a restaurant. And this woman is the real life Emily in Paris. I am not joking, people. She is actually both Italian and American. She grew up in the US, but her dad is Italian. And so she kind of has this dual citizen background, and she is now living in France as a marketeer, author, and entrepreneur. And she was actually on Emily in Paris. And obviously, we can get more into that in the actual episode. She'll explain the whole story behind that. But she wrote this book, and it's called Swiping for Prince Charming. And I'll obviously link everything down in the show notes below. Super excited to get my own copy. But she talks a lot about dating and kind of dating on dating apps, which is super applicable to real life. I mean, especially during this coronavirus era that we're all in, it's really difficult to meet people out and about. And so she just kind of wrote a book about how it is to try to find love on a dating app, but she wrote it in kind of a storybook form with illustrations and all of that. So excited to have her on. We also talked a lot about her different entrepreneurship endeavors. She does a lot of copywriting for major brands like L'Oreal and other beauty magazines. She also translates because she can speak Italian, French, and English. So this woman, she has a lot of talents. She's a professor actually at FIT in New York City. And like I mentioned, she owns a restaurant. So what does she not do? After talking to her, she's definitely someone I kind of aspire to be like. I love her entire career, what she's doing. And one of my favorite quotes is by Bob Goff. I have actually said this, I think, in a few of my podcast episodes, but he says to get within 10 feet of your aspirations. And that's one way you're going to be able to achieve your goals in, I guess, an easier way. And I completely agree. For instance, this podcast, I'm able to interview so many amazing people. And I kid you not, this podcast has opened so many cool job opportunities. Let me just say, everything that I'm doing in my life is because of the podcast. I mean, I'm writing a book, and that's because I met someone, I interviewed someone who wrote a book. I reached out to her asking her how she did it, and then she set me up with her editor and all of that. And I got a job, my new job, which I'll obviously talk about a little bit later. Got that from the podcast as well. So honestly, my biggest piece of advice is get within 10 feet of your aspirations. You can do that by asking someone who has a really cool job how they got it. You can ask people out for coffee and just kind of get to know them, pick their brain on how they got where they are today. And honestly, that's hands down the best thing to do. Networking is key in life, and building healthy, strong relationships with people will get you so much farther than you can even imagine. So that is like my little piece of advice for this episode. But in terms of a life update, like I mentioned, I got a new job, guys. Okay, I want to make a different episode about just quitting and the idea of, you know, quitting your first job and getting a new one. And obviously, I'm not going to go into great detail about it because, like I mentioned, I do want to make an episode about it. But basically, all you really need to know right now is I quit my first corporate job and I hopefully will never have to go back to another corporate job. And I'm working on a couple different projects doing social media and copywriting. So two things I'm really passionate about, working in industries, both in the beauty industry and in podcasting, actually. So I'm just honestly in awe of everything that is happening. It's been a long time coming. A lot of tears were shed up to this moment. So if you are kind of struggling right now in, I guess, just finding a job or really confused with the direction your life is going, know that you're not alone. Life can sometimes throw you some curveballs that you did not see coming, but sometimes those curveballs are really just blessings in disguise. So that is, I guess, a very quick summary of what has been going on in my life. A lot has been happening between just, I guess, quitting my job, starting two new ones, and just life in general. It's been busy, but it's all been good and, you know, very blessed. So other than that, I think it's time to get into the podcast. So enough of me rambling and let's get into it. Okay, everyone, we have a very, very special guest on the podcast today. Welcome Sabrina Mazzaro to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to meet you, Sarah.
Of course. Well, I'm super excited. I know that you're in Paris right now. So it's currently 9 a.m. here in San Diego, California, and 6 p.m. in Paris, I believe. So definitely I'm thankful for Zoom that we are able to still meet on this day. And I'd love it if you could kind of give just a quick intro about who you are and what you're all about.
Sure. So as I reached out to you as the author of Swiping for Prince Charming, so it's my illustrated book that came out just about a year ago now. I'm also the president and founder of my branding, copywriting, and translations company, Graphite and Ink, as well as a professor of creative strategies at FIT in New York City.
That's amazing. And I kind of want to hit the ground running because I feel like we have so much to cover. I mean, you are a woman of many talents. I also heard that you own your own restaurant. Is that correct?
Yes. I opened a restaurant with my father in New York City 3 years ago now on the Upper East Side.
Okay, amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, you definitely have a lot going on. So I kind of first want to start off with your book, Swiping for Prince Charming. And I guess what really inspired you to write such a book? Because I think it is so applicable for just this day and age.
Well, thank you. So the story itself came out really unexpectedly, I have to say. I knew I wanted to write a book last year, but I didn't know of what. And as a writer, even I love to journal for my own personal development and whatnot. And if you want to hear the sort of serendipitous story, I was supposed to meet up for lunch with an ex that I was still head over heels for. And I was stressing out for weeks, and leading up to the day, I was just wondering, like, oh my gosh, what am I going to wear? What's going to happen, etc. And I woke up the morning of with a horrible fever, and I was so angry and so upset. And so I was journaling this all out, and suddenly the writing started coming out in a very poetic manner. And I just kept going. And when I got to the end, I looked down at the page and I went, oh my God, I know what I have to do with this. It was literally the entire text of this book, which is an illustrated tale that sort of reads like a long poem that tells the story of a woman's search for love in Paris through dating apps. And I just knew that if I could transform this into a story and put it out into the world, that so many other women would be able to relate to the ups and downs of dating. And really, it's a story about finding self-love. So I've been using it as a platform, and my goal is to use it to accompany women on this journey and sort of to bring them an instant pick-me-up and just very fun Sex in the City, and at the same time, something that's much deeper that helps them find the courage and resilience to keep moving forward.
And I like the idea too that it is kind of an illustrated book too, because I think just oftentimes a lot of those are kind of geared towards children. But I mean, I like the fact that this one is kind of geared more towards adults. And I think, I mean, not only is it definitely have a creative creative twist, which you are a very creative person, but the idea itself is so just applicable, like I mentioned, to the day-to-day life that we are currently living. And especially during coronavirus, you can't really meet anyone out and about. So dating apps are, I guess, kind of the way to go now. But what would you say your one piece of advice for women using dating apps during this time? What would you tell them?
So I know how frustrating it can be just answering the same questions over and over. You sort of feel like you want to have your bio already ready to just send out. So what I personally love to do though is it takes a little bit more time at the beginning, but it's so worth it. If you look at someone's profile that interests you, find some picture that you can make a joke about or just a fun comment and start off with a remark about that photo as a joke. If the guy responds with the same sort of tone, he gets it, then already it's more playful, it's more natural, and you see if you have that same sense of humor. Because if you start off with like, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? No one really enjoys that. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I think it's like the same, you know, conversation, but different person. Because I've exactly. So many guys are like, hi, and I'm like, hello, like, have anything to say?
Yeah, exactly. Like, how many times am I going to tell someone what I did this weekend, you know?
Oh, exactly.
And this way, again, I think it's so important to know if you have that same sense of humor, because at the end of the day, you want someone that can make you laugh. So mm-hmm. It's a great way to sense that immediately.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, no, because I recently downloaded dating apps again. I don't know how I feel about them, to be honest. I feel like, you know, there's a difference. There's totally a difference when you, you know, meet someone out and about or at a bar. You can kind of just sense their automatic, you know, energy that they give off. So that's one thing I'm struggling with, but I definitely think I need to start doing that, because all of the guys just, I tell everyone, okay, I do this for work. I do this with my weekends. I'm not very exciting.
I mean, first of all, I'd like to just say that you are a pretty entrepreneurial, interesting person. So to say you're not very exciting.
Thank you.
But no, I completely understand. And there's, you know, obviously, like many people, prefer to meet someone naturally in person and, you know, some very amazing, like some adorable meet cute out of movies. But in the end, at least what's great about the apps is that you get the opportunity to meet so many more people that you wouldn't have otherwise crossed paths with. And thanks to that, I've met some really incredible people that I've even kept in my life, even as friends, even if it didn't work out for a full-term relationship.
I think that's really smart. I think a lot of people just go into the whole dating scene with, oh, it has to work out. It has to work out. And I liked that you mentioned that, you know, you kept some of these people in your life, even though some are friends, and that's totally fine. So I think that's super important to note too.
Definitely. And honestly, if it weren't for that, I wouldn't have written this book in the end. So it's always a silver lining.
Exactly. And also for this book, I'm sure you had to do, you know, some of your research, as in, you know, go out on all of these dates. You had to get content.
Yeah, I consider myself sort of like a social anthropologist as I go about.
You know? I know. I mean, that's important. It's kind of like you're like Sex in the City, honestly, but in Paris.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, kind of going off of just dating and dating in Paris, especially, I'm really interested in kind of how that works versus in the US, because I know you kind of have dual citizenship. Is that what you have?
Yes. I'm actually half Italian and half American, but I've lived in France for over 8 years altogether. So.
Okay, perfect. Well, it sounds like you probably are very well familiarized with, I guess, the dating scenes on both continents. So how does that, I guess, it differ from the US?
So I think just as a culture, the French, how do I put this? They're much more romantic. And I think that maybe it's the Latin blood, but I also think it's sort of the upbringing that there's much more emphasis on philosophy, on literature, on the arts. And so to put it quite simply, the French are very good in courtship. And have you ever seen in season 6 of Sex and the City, you have Carrie Bradshaw, who's dating the Russian, and he's just so romantic, reading poetry, and she faints in front of the opera house.
I have not seen that, but I actually just started Sex and the City 2 days ago. So I'll let you know when I get there.
All right. Well, in essence, for many American women, I think that this much of a romantic, the romantic undertones might be even too much, because it's like, some of the phrases they might say, it sounds almost cliche, but as a hopeless romantic, I adore it. So it's just learning how to decipher when it's really authentic and when it's just this game of charm and courtship and seduction and whatnot. But I love, you know, I wrote a fairy tale for Christ's sake. So of course I find it really, really enchanting.
Because I studied abroad in Italy, and one thing I vividly remember, I was at this wine and painting class, and the teacher, I think she was from Armenia, but she was living in Italy, and she was telling me all about the Italian men. And she said, one thing you should know about the Italian men, they will even make their mistress feel so loved and adored just because they'll treat them so well. And they even mentioned, even if you, you know, potentially have like a one night stand with a guy, they're like, they will treat you so well. They'll make you breakfast in the morning. They'll act like you are their actual girlfriend for the night. So I was like, interesting. That's definitely not, I think, the treatment you get in the US.
I mean, I think that's a generalization from what I've heard, even from stories from my girlfriends. You're not always going to get the full.
Yeah.
the full
sometimes you don't get so lucky.
Yeah. So, but yes, overall, I think that is much more accurate than
once coronavirus is done, that's what I want to do. Go to Europe and hopefully have a European getaway and maybe meet a man. I don't know.
Hey, you
know, that's my fantasy.
It'd be like, I don't know if you've seen Lizzie McGuire, but you know, she goes off to Rome.
I know. When I studied abroad in Rome, I was like, okay, I'm going to have my Lizzie McGuire moment. Where's Paulo?
Off we go.
I know. And then you realize that no one knows how to drive there. And I was like, I don't want to get on a Vespa. I will fall off.
That's true. However, I will say that I've had my fair share of Paris by night on a Vespa, and I still get weak in the knees for it. So.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, yeah, honestly, if someone knows how to drive well and I can trust them, then I'll hop on the back. So, but kind of like going on to, I know that you were in Emily in Paris, and I might say myself that you are the true Emily in Paris. I mean, you are a marketeer, you are an American, you know, also an Italian, but living in Paris. And I kind of want to know just the backstory behind, you know, you meeting the cast or meeting the director and kind of getting on the show. That's super amazing. I'm very jealous, and I would just love to know the backstory behind that.
So in essence, I wrote my book a year and a half ago, and I saw about a month and a half after I'd written the text and had been going full force on the illustrations that they were releasing a TV show at some point that was created by Darren Star of Sex and the City about a 20-something American moving to Paris to work in marketing. And I heard that and I was like, oh my God, that is my life. So it was this very bizarre situation, but I knew that I had to collaborate with them. So I tried to reach out to them in every single way possible. No one got back to me, of course, but I just kept moving forward with my book. And about a week before I moved to New York to teach marketing at FIT, though, I saw some complete stranger on Instagram had tagged a photo that Emily in Paris, and I recognized immediately the gardens where they were filming. So I knew that this was my chance, and I had to grab my stuff and race over there to try to meet them. And honestly, like I you saw in the little video that I made on my Instagram for this, but I didn't even have a copy of the book at that time. As I'm running out the door, my concierge stops me to tell me I have a package, and it was literally the first copy.
I know. That's like divine timing.
I know. It was insane. And so I'm in the Uber, ripping open the box, running over there. I honestly have no idea what's going on in my life. I show up and they're taking down the set. And I was like, no. I can't be too late. This is my one chance. So I see there may be 2-3 guys left, and I go up to the one that seems the nicest, and I start talking to him like, hi, you know, I'm here to speak to your producers because I have content for the show. And he's like, well, sorry, you missed them, and we're just the tech crew. And I wasn't leaving anytime soon. And so finally he was like, all right, well, we're filming here tomorrow morning. And I was like, fantastic, thank you. Off I go. I come back the next morning, book in hand. I go up to someone, I'm like, I'm here to speak to the producers. I have content for you for the show. Guy goes over to get the producer, comes back, and he's like, sorry, miss, he refuses to speak to you. And he gave me an email address. So I wrote to them, but I was like, no, I just got to keep trying. So I go back over there and I say, look, please, just this is the last copy of my, only copy I have of my book. If you could please just give this to the American team, I really think that they would find it interesting. It's the same tone, the message, the ideas, everything you need for inspiration for this TV show. Guy's like, lady, sorry, but that's just, I don't have the authority. It's not happening. So I leave. Next thing I know, my friend sends me a link that they're casting for the show. And it's there that I apply and I actually get in. So I have no idea what's going on, but literally last night that I have in Paris before moving to New York, I'm filming the TV show in the very museum where my parents met.
Oh,
so
it was amazing.
Yeah, it was, I mean, so many strange things aligning for this to come true, but it was an incredible experience. And I'm still hoping that I get to actually write for season two a screenplay as well with their team. That would be an incredible opportunity. So yes. We'll see what happens.
But. I know. Fingers crossed, because I mean, I binged the whole season.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I know that there's some mixed, I guess, reviews on it, but I personally really enjoyed Emily in Paris. So, you know, fingers crossed for you. I know that you're also a big writer too. So I feel like that would align with everything that you're doing. And speaking of just how that story played out, there was so much divine timing. So hopefully some of that will transfer over into you, you know, hopefully creating more content for that.
Thank you. I certainly hope so. And like, I've lived through enough content that would be made for TV that at this point, it's like, it has to be used for something of value.
Exactly. I know. My family always jokes, like sometimes certain people's lives should just have a reality TV show. It's not only the Kardashians that need to have one. Well, I know you are such a big writer, and kind of switching gears, I know you do a lot of copywriting and work in marketing as well. And I was actually listening to another podcast that you were on, and you mentioned kind of when you began freelancing for copywriting for a few different big firms, you mentioned how you didn't really have much experience. And when they asked you, oh, do you do copywriting? You were like, of course I do. And then you kind of go back and you're like, oh, well, I'll learn. And it's funny that you say that because I actually just quit my job yesterday and I got two positions. Both are kind of part-time, but you know, they make up a full-time job. So I'm doing a social media and copywriting, and I have a little experience. Obviously I do this podcast and I'm very much self-taught. I've read all of the self-help books in terms of how to copyright and whatnot, but I'm finally taking a true course on how to do it properly. But it's funny because I'm about to, I guess, walk into these positions and be their copy editor and copywriter. And I felt exactly the same way when you said, yep, I can do that. I'll learn.
No, first of all, congratulations and bravo, because that is very courageous. And that is honestly, I think, one of the best skill sets you can have is just being ready to seize every opportunity and learn on the go. So bravo.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I mean, that's kind of, I think, what I do best. I just kind of say, yes, I'm a very yes woman. I can learn on the job. But I guess for you, what gave you the confidence to kind of dive into this field without, I guess, little to no exposure?
So I will say that I had already been, I'd studied marketing, I'd had internships in advertising, but more in the research end. I was doing for account management for Dannon. So I understood a little bit about the industry, and I'd always felt that I had a knack finding slogans or catchphrases for whatever reason. And I love to write. And so I knew that, I mean, I had confidence in my abilities to write well. And as I was already doing translations on the side, clients could see the quality of my writing. And so I felt that copywriting was just sort of a natural extension of that. I think the scariest part for me was thinking, how am I going to find a full set of clients that this can be sustainable and I can live off of this? So the real skill set that I needed to learn was learning to be not only an entrepreneur, but really almost like a salesman, to be cold calling and just finding ways to build my client base.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I can imagine how scary that is, especially, I mean, did you have a lot of contacts in that industry? You mentioned how you kind of worked in that industry previously.
Honestly, no, because yeah, I'd been in one of the advertising firms, but first of all, a lot of the people that I had been in touch with had either evolved in their roles or gone to other companies. But most of it at the beginning was really just cold calling and then finding different ways. For instance, my former full-time employer is now one of my clients for translation. translations. And then it's really word of mouth and naturally relationships I've built over time with people in all different brands and companies that have reached out to me and asked me to help them either with entire strategic positioning or to copywriting for all of their communications.
Well, I mean, it's good to know that. I think I'm kind of on the same page as you were. I mean, I write for a few magazines. I, you know, do a lot of short form and long form content for various platforms. So hopefully I think this will go well, but thank you for kind of sharing that because it kind of put my nerves at ease.
When it comes to the writing part, you know that you have the capacity mm-hmm. to do that well. That is honestly the talent that not everyone's going to have. And that's what's going to really, you need to have faith in that. The rest you will learn about. And naturally you're already doing these podcasts, for instance, which is something that requires you to constantly be social and going and meeting new people. That is going to serve you in your career no matter where it takes you. So don't mm-hmm. worry. I'm sure that you're going to do well.
Perfect. Thank you. Well, I know you're also working with some big brands too in your business. And I know L'Oreal was one of them and a few others. So what is it like kind of working for some of the, you know, biggest brands in the world?
Well, honestly, it's a blessing. And I feel really fortunate to be able to collaborate with brands that I've always really admired even. For me, it's really exciting to be able to see sort of behind the scenes in so many different brands because I work with so many different companies and to see all the new product launches and also the entire sort of all the different things driving their decisions in how they develop these new products. So, and I think the coolest part is also feeling like I'm creating something that can influence people on a much larger scale for good, you know, especially when I do a campaign that has a much deeper meaning about learning to value yourself or, you know, just things with deeper messages. For me, that's really inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. And I mean, you definitely are able to, I guess, connect with a lot more people too, because you are a professor. Is that correct?
Yeah, as well. It's nice because that way people already, you walk in with sort of this added level of legitimacy and people appreciate mm-hmm. you know, that your work must be of a certain caliber, at least if you're a professor.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I'm sure, you know, you have walked through a lot of different stages of your life with just a lot of career switches. And I'm sure you've moved plenty of times in your life just with your background itself. And I guess what's one thing you tell your students when they're trying to explore their own creative passions and they don't necessarily know what direction to go?
I would say definitely to stay curious and to not be afraid to seize those opportunities as they arise. Because, you know, even for instance, I personally only learned within the past year or two that I have a tremendous passion for neuroscience and psychology, for instance. Who would have thought, right? But mm-hmm. it's actually all linked to marketing in a way and to what drives us in our decisions and our behaviors. And so that's really only because I just started getting curious and learning about different topics and watching different YouTube or TEDx videos, reading different books. So use that and take solace in the fact that no matter what you learn now in any field, it will serve you in some way and it might unveil a new path for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, one book that I would recommend that I'm actually currently reading about brain health and neuroscience, it's called Change Your Brain, Change Your Life by Dr. Amen. I'm not sure if you've heard of him at all.
Yes, I heard of that book. I did. Okay. I haven't read it.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, I highly recommend it. It talks about, you know, just how the brain functions and just all about, I guess, even traumatic injuries that we wouldn't even think that were quote unquote traumatic to our brain and how it like affects, you know, our overall health and perception of the world. So super interesting. I definitely would recommend that one.
Oh, thank you. I want to look into it.
Yeah, definitely. But I guess kind of moving on to your book and going back to that, Swiping for Prince Charming, where can everyone find that?
So it is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Target. And so essentially, I assume that most of your listeners are in the US, so I would direct them there.
Okay, perfect. Well, I'll definitely be buying my own copy and I'm super excited to read it. Definitely I'll take some inspiration when I'm going into my dating life after reading that.
Well, thank you. I hope you enjoy it. And it's really a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for having me.
No, it was a pleasure to speak with you too. Loved having you on the podcast. And before I let you go, where can everyone find you on social media?
So on Instagram, I'm at sabrina.marzaro, M-A-R-Z-A-R-O. But please do check out at Swiping for Prince Charming, where you'll have lots of fun, continued adventures that prolong the adventure.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Sabrina. And that is the end of the podcast for today, guys. I hope you loved it just as much as I did. You can find all of Sabrina's information down in the show notes below. And of course, go out and buy her book, Swiping for Prince Charming. Other than that, be sure to tune in every Tuesday for a new episode of It Ain't It Sis. Of course, follow me on Instagram if you already are not. And let me just say, you should be. That's basically where you're going to find me and see what I'm up to every day. But I hope you all have a great rest of your week, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye, guys.